Well, Brother Gary, buddy, this is your last chance, man. I mean, you can...
Hallelujah. Well, Bronk came over to me. Uh-oh, here comes the thermometers. Here they come. Oh, no. Oh, no. Here's the thermometers. Come over a little bit with the TV camera. Have them come over this way. Come over this way just a little bit where the TV camera can see you. There you go. You got to see these thermometers here. They started this competition between Bronk and I. Bronk's been doing the offering exhortations in the morning, and I've been doing them in the evenings. And so I can't see them from here. I don't know who's ahead, but they're tied. Okay. Well, Bronk came over to let me know right before the service he's pretty sure he's ahead. And so he told me, he says, Gary, you got to hit it out of the park tonight or it's all over, okay? So thank you very much for that. so knowing that I've got to hit it out of the park, open up to Matthew 19:29. We're going directly to the hundredfold return. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200. We're going directly to the hundredfold return. I'm serious. Matthew 19:29. And I'm going to try and keep this low. I'm going to do an offering exhortation and at the same time teach a lesson on really how do you meditate God's Word. And if you've never listened to Dave's series, the big one called Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery. I think it's what it's called, isn't it? Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery. You just really need to listen to it. The first law of meditation is you don't ever, and that means not ever, and that means not for any reason, and that means not at any time, and that means not ever, do you lift a verse out of its setting. It means what it means in the context God gave it, and it doesn't mean anything else, okay? Well, I didn't know that in the early days. And so I would go to conferences, I'm talking about the pre-Dave years. You know, there's pre-Dave and post-Dave. In the pre-Dave years, when we'd go to the other kind of conferences and the TV preachers that were teaching these things, they would go to Matthew, like just one of the verses, Matthew 19:29, and just this verse alone, and just lift it out of its setting. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. And then they would exhort on that, just that one scripture by itself. And it's like, you have a guarantee from God. Everything that you give into the gospel, you have the Word of God itself that He guarantees to multiply back to you 100 times everything you give. Sue knows, on the way home after the first time I heard that, I stopped at Burkhart's Office Supplies. I bought an accountant's ledger. You ever seen one of those things? It's a big thing, about this big, got all those columns. I started going back through that's what they said. I went back through all of our checkbooks and I started going back. On such and such a date, we gave $10 times 100. God owes me $1,000. On such and such a date, we gave $20 times. And pretty soon, I was a millionaire already. It doesn't take long with that hundredfold return, you know. I'm going, oh my God. You know, couldn't understand. And we just kept on. I try to be a doer of the word. But when it's not really the truth, see, when you lift a verse out, the way they did it, they gave me a verse, but they didn't give me the truth. They really didn't, all right? Now, laws of meditation. This won't take more than 2 hours. No, I'm teasing. Laws of meditation. Look at the next verse. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, what you'll learn listening to Dave's series, you'll say, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Help me find where this subject ends. And then help me back up and find out where it begins so that I can meditate this passage in the entire image. And I'm just giving you the briefest description of what he teaches. There's like nine or ten messages in that series. But just for example, in this one, verse 30 says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Come on down into chapter 20 and look at verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. Could it be he's still talking about the same thing? Maybe he's not through talking about that hundredfold return yet, see? Well, let's back up the other direction and see if we can find where something has to do with giving into the kingdom or something like that, you know? We'll back up all the way into verse 16 of chapter 19. And here we see the rich young ruler. "And behold, one came unto him, saying, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And the amazing thing is, Jesus doesn't rebuke him and say, "No, you haven't." He doesn't. See, because under the law, we know nobody perfectly kept the law. But under the law, if you missed it, if you offered the appropriate sacrifice, then your mistake or your missing of the law was wiped away and your record was clean again. So Jesus doesn't dispute this. But so Jesus said unto him, "Well, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." What did he say to Peter and John the fishermen? "Come, follow me." This man's called. Remember that. Keep that in your mind. Many are called. You got that? He called him. Now watch. "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful." Notice Jesus didn't send him away. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now I'm going to stop right there and exhort just for a moment. See, what this young man doesn't understand is that what Jesus said, that until the time of John the Baptist, from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God was being preached. Jesus was, even though he was born of a woman, born under the law, and the law was really in effect up until the resurrection. Jesus is introducing and teaching the principles of the kingdom that will come right after he's raised from the dead. See? So what this man doesn't understand is he's living right in that period, that few years, where there's a change of covenant going on. Well, under the old covenant, he knew how to function. God was dealing with a spiritually dead people. Dave likes to call them flesh creatures. I think that's good. And well, every parent understands this. God knew how to deal with them. "Listen, if you'll obey me, I will bless you. And if you disobey me, there's going to be a whooping." Is that okay? Every parent understands this. Clean your room. And when they're real little, if you obey me, there might be ice cream. If you disobey me, there won't be ice cream. They're not obeying you because they want to please you or they want to clean the room. Why are they obeying you? Ice cream. It's the blessing that they're after. And that's the only covenant this man knows. But Jesus is introducing him to a new covenant. In this covenant, it's different. So, picking it up where we left off. So then Jesus, verse 23, Jesus said unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier," "again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now notice, this is, under the old covenant, Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. Under the old covenant, the more you obeyed God, the more blessed you were. Isn't that right? So when he says it's hard for a rich man, which in their mind, he's probably really a blessed man by God, and he's saying it's hard for that fella to enter into this kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, they're having a hard time with this. They're going, when they heard this, they were exceedingly amazed. They're saying, well, who then can be saved? Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now then answered Peter, don't you love Peter? He's the ask the questions. The rest of us are too holy to ask, you know. Well, Peter's listening to this, and he's going, well, Lord, we've forsaken all and followed thee. What are we going to get out of this? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I remember Dave teaching on that, and he goes, well, that's fine for them. But what? Now he's wanting to ask, what do I get out of it? And everyone, oh, okay, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, Jesus knew that we were going to have a hard time understanding what he's teaching. The same way that that rich young ruler didn't understand it, the same way that the disciples didn't understand it, they're going, now, wait a minute, what's going on here? So he gives this parable, starting in chapter 20, to explain why the rich young ruler disqualified himself. Okay, you ready? For in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny, now it's important that you know that that word there translated penny in the King James represents your what you need for the day. A penny was sufficient for what you needed for the day. Your food, your where you're going to stay, it met your daily needs. Do you remember a prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. That penny is a good representation of that. Okay. So he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, and he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, well, go you also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and he did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and he found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand you here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, so they only worked 1 hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last, can't you just hear it? These last, they've only wrought but 1 hour. Thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Reminds me of so many songs I grew up hearing, you know. Oh, through this life, we're so footsore and poorly shod, but in the end, there's God. Oh. Boy, if you ever want to hear the words of religion, it's verse 12, I'm telling you. Verse 13. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first left last. For many be called, but few chosen. Now keep it in mind with the rich young ruler. See, all of his life, every time he obeyed God, God blessed him materially. He was under that kind of a covenant. He was a flesh creature, just like how we deal with our children. The rich young ruler wasn't really obeying God out of a love motive. He was obeying God because he wanted the blessing of God. He wanted the ice cream. Jesus is saying, this is a whole different covenant. In this covenant, you're not in it for personal profit. See, the very motive of the rich young ruler is what disqualified him. He couldn't do it. Now, the best illustration he's given me is this. I'm going to come down here now. Is Jesus our example? Now, Someone remind me if I forget before I quit to tell you what the hundredfold return really is. But to illustrate the fields, the Holy Spirit finally got the fullness of this teaching across to me. Jesus is our example. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's look in on Jesus on a typical morning. You know, we see him out in the fields, out amongst the sinners, seeking and saving that which is lost. So he's getting up in the morning like that, you know, and the alarm rooster went off. You know, and it's daybreak, and he's getting ready, and oh, okay, another day. He's putting on his sandals, you know, and he says, you know, I need to punch the clock early today because, you know, I'm laboring out in the fields. My sandals are starting to wear out. I don't know how many souls I have to win today in order to get a new set of sandals. You know, and I've kind of had my eye on that new Rolls Royce Camel. You know, my old Camel, it's using too much Camel food per mile, and these new ones, they don't use so much Camel food, and I'm just wondering, maybe I search the scriptures, and if I win enough souls and heal enough people today and cast out enough devils, maybe at the end of the day when I punch out, there'll be enough payment today that I can get that new Camel. Sickening, isn't it? Isn't that sickening? Now, what did the Father say? All that I have is thine. Jesus gave us that same glory, that glory of sonship. All that the Father has is ours. We're not out in those fields trying to earn something personally. We get to dine at Daddy's table every day. He already said, I'll give you your penny. Yeah, I'll meet every need. Don't you worry about that. When we labor in the fields, it's not for our harvest, it's for His harvest. When you give into this offering tonight, it's not to get your needs met. Jesus died on that cross to get your needs met. When you sow into this offering tonight, let's just do it. Hold up something. I don't care. Just by faith. Hold up like you're holding up an offering. If you've really got one, fine. If not, by faith. Let's just say this. For your kingdom. Not my needs. For your kingdom. For your kingdom. Hallelujah. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We don't labor in the fields for reward. We labor in the fields as the sons and daughters of Almighty God, being about our Father's business. And we know our penny will be there at the end of the day. He will meet our needs day by day. Is that good stuff? Now the hundredfold return. Oshawa, are you here? Would y'all stand up? When I go to Oshawa, Canada, where's the girls? Those girls, they give up their room, and I get to sleep in their bed. I get to eat in their kitchen. They prepare the food, they make the coffee, they just adopt me into their family. Brothers, sisters, fathers, children. Thank you. Sit down. When I went to Africa, the first time I really knew what this meant, I went to Africa and we were having such a good time. The guy's name was Brom, but his real name was Abraham. And he was a builder and a landowner. And he says, Getty, you big barrel-chested man, Getty, put his arm around me. You must move to Africa. You must bring this message. You must move and bring your wife, and I will build you a house on a land. I give it to you, and you can live here. I said, but I have children and grandchildren. I will build them all houses. Houses, lands, brothers, sisters, fathers. That's what it means. We have a young man named Mark, different Mark. We have many Marks at our church. He used to go to India all the time. And all he would take with him really was enough, you know, he'd buy the airline ticket and just the most minimum of things to go over there. And he'd go, he had this friend over there that would take him to the villages and he'd preach and get people healed, you know. Well, no, you know, there's not many Motel 6s in those roads out there. So I remember Dave asked him one time, he says, well, where do you live? What do you do? He says, oh, if you heal their sick, they'll let you sleep in their house. If you heal their sick and get them saved, they'll feed you. Houses, lands. Brothers, sisters, y'all ready to give? Hallelujah. Usher Etz, come forward, please. Hallelujah. For your kingdom. For your kingdom. Everything we do is for the kingdom of God. Everything we do is for the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. And plus, you got to help my thermometer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you. We are not slaves. We are not farmers. We are not sharecroppers in the kingdom of God. We are sons and daughters, heirs of God Almighty. Everything you have really is already ours, and we trust you for our penny every day. We will never have lack. Father, we thank you now. You heard what was spoken. Nobody was bribed. Nobody was threatened. Every penny that comes into this offering is for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.